All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football podcast, NFL Draft Edition. Jeremy Moss here, hanging out with Matt Kennerly. Check us out, as always, MWR.com, Facebook, Twitter, all that great stuff. We're nearing 2,000 Twitter followers, Matt, so that's a good sign, right?
Ever so slowly, yes. Thank you for everybody who's been following us day after day.
I know the past week or two, because not much going on, we're putting some stuff out there, but this week, blowing out the budget. All draft talk all the time. We have draft profiles up on... Let me see. Josh Allen, Cameron Kelly, Rashard Penny, David Wells. Who else we got? I'm writing some Boise State guys. We'll have at least about a dozen or so. Oh, Austin Corbett this morning from our good buddy Brandon Blake. So if you want to draft stuff, just go to, we got a little tab at the top, Josh Allen plus draft stuff. So if you like draft, if you're new to finding us because you're an NFL team, like what are these guys about? What do they know about Cedric Wilson? Thank you for stopping by. We have you covered all week because Thursday will be here before you know it.
So do you have a plan for Thursday on how you're going to watch the NFL draft?
Yes, I'll tell you.
I'm just curious.
Well, no, because I may have some obligations where I may not be able to watch it live, which bums me out. However, what I normally do, this year is still TBD of what, if I'll be able to watch it live or how much live, but I like NFL Network the best. I think they're the best way to go to watching it.
I totally agree.
It's going to be on Fox. One thing that could change this year, because Fox is picking it up as well. Is Fox doing Thursday also?
You know what? Off the top of my head, I don't know.
Because they're picking up the NFL Network feed, but they're bringing in guys like Troy Aikman and guys who do NFL coverage, which could be a little bit different spin than what ESPN. I know ESPN's countering with their game day stuff like Herb Street. I think Desmond Howard, those type of guys who hang out for game day are going to be doing a little thing as well. So it's going to be, I think, different coverage, which could be good overall. But typically, I like NFL.com. What I normally do is like have their website up and the live stream as well and go through because they get picks up right away. They have good analysis. But Mike Mag does a really good job, and so I prefer to go to NFL Network. But I'll flip back and forth here and then, especially this year if it's a bit different with the game day guys and like Fox guys showing up on NFL Network. Could be a good change.
Yeah, I'm really hoping there's no spoilers.
Do you care about that? Do you care about tipping picks? I
absolutely
care. I do not care one bit. I don't care. I do it.
I mean, I understand why they have to do that, because
money.
That is their job, you know. But yeah, I mean, as someone who, I mean, because it is, you know, a lot about theatrics and things like that, or just waiting to know what teams are going to do what and things like that. So yeah, I mean, I get it, but I don't necessarily enjoy it. You know?
So here's your warning now. Jason Lockham 4 will do picks. Just mute him because he'll get a million tweets about saying to spoil in the draft. Here's the thing. If you don't want it to be spoiled, don't watch it. Don't go to Twitter. Just turn on your feed, whatever you're going to do, TV, streaming, ESPN, or if you're just watching on, who knows, CBS HQ probably has something as well. But if you don't want picks to be spoiled, just watch it online. Pick somewhere online to watch and don't open Twitter. That's
rule to live by. Don't go on Twitter.
Well, I kind of have to, but yeah. but I'm serious. Like, if you care about picks being tipped or don't care, I mean, if you do care, just watch your feed, because the ESPN guys aren't going to tip picks. Basically, if they're broadcasting, they're not going to tip picks. Like, does Jay Glazer still work with Fox? I don't know.
I think so.
So he used to be a big insider guy. I know he does MMA stuff, obviously NFL, but his Twitter still says NFL Insider for Fox Sports. So that could be different if he's part of that broadcast, because Fox is airing it with NFL Network. So, but yeah, if you don't want to be spoiled by picks, just watch TV and don't worry about going to Twitter or whatever. So there's your PSA, right?
Yes.
So we got two things going on this week. We have draft. We also have the Avengers coming out. Should we talk about that? Because your tweet you put out earlier that stumped me very badly.
Yeah, because, I mean, Infinity War comes out, you know, competing head-to-head foolishly perhaps with day two of the NFL draft.
Wait, hold on.
It's actually going head-to-head with the NFL draft, because I don't know how it is out in Utah, but they have Thursday evening showings here in Fresno.
Here's the thing. If I had a choice, I'd go to Avengers first, early as possible, over the NFL draft. I'll tell you that right now. So you agree with me?
I absolutely do.
I wish the company I used to work for, because I chat with our buddy Josh Webb sometimes, and he gets to see it Tuesday, so I'm very jealous of that. The company I used to work with, you could see it early, like Tuesday, like all the new Star Wars, all the Avengers, all the Marvel movies, like Tuesday, maybe even Wednesday. Everybody I know there doesn't work there anymore, and so I'm have to wait like the people and see it Friday or something. That's what I'm going Friday night. So
yeah,
but it's you. Let's go your tweet. We'll make it part of the show because we like to have fun here. It is the off season. The NFL draft can only do so much. And our interview coming up with maybe we should mention who we're having on, right? Justin Michael of NFL Draft Wire,
or Justin Mello.
Oh. That's our other buddy. You'll find out my name game today is terrible. Justin Mello. I'm thinking of our buddy Justin Michael. Justin Mello, the DraftWire, draftwire.usatoday.com. That'll be great. You'll hear me fumble a name as well. So what's new, right, Matt?
All on today's work.
It happens. But if you put on a good tweet, what's the favorite, what did you put, Marvel trailer?
Yeah, because, you know, they've basically been putting out very good trailers, good to great trailers, I would say, for a decade. And yeah, I've been one of those people watching the Infinity War trailer over and over and over again, just getting hyped for it. But like, to me, like, the obvious answer was the first trailer that they put out for Age of Ultron. It's the one that they take the song from Pinocchio about having no strings and things like that and make it super eerie and stuff like that. Because I feel like it put you in the right frame of mind for what that movie was going to be about. So for me, that's kind of like the gold standard for Marvel trailers.
One, that's a good one too. Because also James Spader, amazing actor. He can basically do no wrong. So that was a great role for him as well.
Exactly.
Also, one I just thought of just now, also it has Iron Man. I don't think it's in the movie, but I think it was Iron Man 2. Whatever you think of the movie, it was I'd say they're all good, some great. But the one where I think he's chatting with somebody, I think it's Pepper or whatever, they toss his helmet and he goes out and gets it. I don't think that was in the movie, but I thought that was a pretty cool trailer. Do you remember that one?
I think that's Iron Man. That's Iron Man 3.
It's one of the two or three, but they toss the helmet out and he dives after and gets it. I thought that was pretty cool. Mm. But honestly, I know the recency bias is a big deal, but every Black Panther trailer I saw was amazing.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I would also submit that the first trailer they put out for Captain America, The Winter Soldier,
yes,
is also an excellent trailer.
So, let's see. I guess, okay, I'll give one more. The Thor one when he meets Hulk.
Ooh, yeah, okay, Ragnarok.
Yeah, because they should try to keep that more of a secret, even though that's what I hate with trailers sometimes. It's like some people are saying don't want the Jurassic World trailer, the new one, because some trailers give away too much. But I felt that one, even though it gave away, I thought that was pretty cool. That was a really good one.
I definitely agree.
So let me ask you this. We'll do one more, then we'll get to draft talk here, get to our interview. What's your favorite movie overall from the MCU?
It's a tie between Black Panther and Winter Soldier.
Those are good. Those are possibly my favorite as well. Black Panther's really good. Winter Soldier, their opening scene is amazing. I would say, was Ultron opening scene where they're in the snow? Is that the opening scene, correct?
They're going out together to take out a Hydra base.
Yeah, that one, that opening scene is amazing. I still, maybe because it's the first one I saw, but I still really, really, really like the first Iron Man. I felt that was a great movie.
An underrated choice, also the first Captain America movie.
That's
also very fond of that one.
That's also good. I actually watched it recently to see. Have you seen Bucky in that role? Because he's brainwashed after that. Yeah. I would also say, did you ever watch? I know this is technically part of it, but not really. But did you ever watch Agent Carter on ABC?
I never did. No.
You should find that. I was ticked to get canceled. It was a pretty cool show. Basically, it's her after Captain America stuff.
I'm pretty sure it's still on Hulu, I think.
Hulu, yeah, I think they did like 26 episodes. I thought that was pretty good, but let's get to our draft stuff. We'll get to our other rapid wrap-up players as I try to speak if we didn't get to with our good buddy Justin Mell. So take a quick time out. We'll be back to a chat with the actual real good draft expert there. All right, folks. It's what you've all been waiting for. Draft season's here. We're getting to an expert because, well, me and Matt Kenner, we know what we're doing, but we have Justin Mello, who does a lot of draft stuff. Follow him on Twitter, JustinM_NFL, USHA Draft Wire, Titans Wire, so we're all sort of connected, sort of. All right, so first off, second time of the show, thanks for hopping back on with us, Justin.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. Glad to be back.
All right, so we're doing Mountain West, and we got the big name. Everybody knows the big name here. There's more than Josh Allen is what we're going to say here. There's a handful of players that are going to get drafted. We won't get into numbers, but I think last year had about 10. So our main goal is to go over the main players. Because you interviewed, I think you made, 70-plus guys, 75 guys. I know you talked to Leighton Vander Esch. You talked to, I think, Cedric Wilson, Michael Gallup. Are those correct names you've spoken with? Pretty much everybody who's important?
From the Mountain West, I would say, yeah. I spoke to all three of those guys, correct.
Excellent. So let's We'll save Josh Allen for a moment because we want people to tune in for a couple of minutes here and there just because we don't want, hey, Josh Allen, we're done. We're out of here. So, like I said, you've done first stuff for Draft Breakdown previously, currently with DraftWire. So let's start with, let me ask you this question. Instead of a specific player,
Who and not a Josh Allen answer also, because we'll get to that in a minute. Who's the best non Josh Allen player? Let's start with there in the Mountain West. Is it simple Van Der Esch, perhaps?
Yeah, I would say Lane Van Der Esch for sure. I have him in the first round, probably going in the top 20 in my opinion. This is a guy who really is just a freak athlete, but it's more than that. You know, he's someone who I'm sure you guys are familiar, but walked on at Boise State at 215 pounds. I mean, a self-described 215-pound scrawny linebacker is the exact words he used when I asked him about it. This is a guy who's worked incredibly hard to get to where he is today. I mean, as you mentioned, I had the opportunity to sit down and chat with him for a while. I think he mentioned 5 or 6 times throughout our conversation how his favorite time of the year is the offseason. That's when he can truly improve himself. He came across as a guy to me who genuinely really, really loves the game, loves football, loves the process of getting better. Showed up to the combine at what 256 pounds, I think it was. Ran the 40-yard dash 4.65 seconds, which is an excellent time for his size. 39.5-inch vertical, really blew the top off the combine. Just really someone who I'm very, very impressed with. And I think once teams get him in the interview room, they'll kind of have the same experience that I did. You know, really going to show off his football IQ. Really impressive guy who loves the game. But it's more than just that. It's more than just the love for the game. It's more than just being a great athlete. I think he's someone who, he's a great football player, bottom line. Someone who plays the game with excellent instincts. Is consistently in a position to make plays because he reads the game so well. That high football IQ that he has. Again, someone who I really, really think belongs in the top half of the first round. Really think he's going to be the defensive captain for the team for the next 10 years.
Let me ask this real quick. I'll let you hop in here, Matt. But there's been reports, or I don't know if it's a true report, I've seen a little bit about an injury about him, because I know, I forget where I saw it from, but I know BGRH, who covers him, Idaho Press Tribune, and others were saying that there's an injury that's been mentioned, but it's similar to JJ a couple years ago. Like, he does workouts perfectly fine, medical comes out fine, but then there's those, I know you probably hate these anonymous scouts who say whatever they want without giving their name, saying there's some sort of injury factor with him, but then you have like guys who actually covered him in college, and even now say that's not the case. Have you any clarification? Do you know anything about that? If that's what you've talked to him or read or reported or chatted with people, is that any more being the case, or some mystery injury that at least one scout said it caused him to drop?
Well, for me, I was surprised when we heard that because, A, as you mentioned, nothing popped up at the combine. He wasn't asked to go back to the medical rechecks that they do down there. So for me, that came totally out of the blue. I don't buy it. For the record, I mean, I did reach out to his agent the day that happened. I know his agent very, very well. I reached out directly to Ron Slavin, and he told me it's a non-issue. I mean, it's his agent, obviously. But at the end of the day, I mean, I'm going to take him for his word. I haven't got any wind of anything whatsoever from anyone who I know familiar with the situation. Again, to me, you know, if it was even remotely an issue, I imagine he would have been at the medical rechecks, which he was not. I hit up the agent immediately, told me it was completely bogus. So, I mean, that's all I've got on that.
I wonder if it's a team just trying to sabotage or something. Who knows? They always say weird stuff.
Yeah, exactly. To me, it's what they call lying season right now. And on that subject, I'm not buying it at all. I think he's 100% fine. There's nothing to worry about at all.
So, you know, I saw a headline recently that my beloved 49ers wanted to bring him in for a visit, but they weren't able to do so because of scheduling concerns and things like that, or scheduling conflicts, rather. So, I mean, I've seen him attached to any number of teams, you know, especially a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, for instance, who have been known for, you know, drafting and developing great linebackers for pretty much as long as I've been an NFL fan. But, you know, you see his name popping up all over the kind of the second half of the first round. So for you, in your opinion, where do you think it would be his best fit? Or rather, who do you think needs him to be on their defense next year the most?
I originally had mocked him to the Tennessee Titans at 25, who I obviously covered from Titans Wire. I really like the idea of him in Tennessee. I think that, you know, for a number of reasons, I think him, general manager John Robinson and head coach Mike Vrabel, he's the kind of guy I could see really hitting it off with those two guys. Again, you know, those are two guys who are, you know, kind of trying to build a culture down there in Tennessee of team first, coachable guys, and that's really the impression that Leighton gave me when I got to spend some time with him. They do have a need at inside linebacker, so it's not just sort of that are just kind of basing off of personality. They lost Avery Williamson in free agency, who signed with the New York Jets. You can argue inside linebacker is one of their biggest needs on the roster right now. So I really, really like the idea of him in Tennessee. But then again, they have reportedly canceled a visit with him as well because they don't think he's going to last till 25. Now, does this injury stuff change that? Who knows? But if it was up to me, I'd really like to see him in Tennessee next year.
All right, I know we got a short time, so we don't need to spend a ton on every player. Let's move to the next guy on our list here. We'll just go in kind of in order. We'll get to Al in a second. But Rashard Penny, San Diego State, we talked with him before a while back. But basically, he touches the ball. He basically has three positions at once, kick return, punt return. Versatile guy, which is huge NFL. If you can take up three to four positions with one guy, you're more valuable than that third down fullback or whatever. Maybe the pass block or something. I've seen Penny floating around. Like, there's a small talk maybe very late in the first round. That doesn't seem the case anymore, but seems to be a top five running back, obviously behind Saquon Barkley and a few other guys. Where do you see him? Because I think he has a little bit more size, even though he's not the bulky back, to be a guy who can second or third round. What's your input on him? Where do you see him kind of going and fitting at this next level?
Yeah, I think he's a second round pick, Jeremy. I got him in the top 64 on my personal big board. I think I have him around 58 off the top of my head. A guy who I really, really like. I don't think he'll jump into the first round, as you mentioned. I see him going second round, maybe a team, maybe late second. Team like Philadelphia, who's apparently going to target running back early. They don't get a guy, at the end of the first round. He might be a guy in the second that they look to. They might have to move up to get him. I'm not sure he'll be there at 64. But for me, if I'm giving my scouting report on him, first thing that jumps out at me is his vision. Now, this is someone who my favorite trait of his is I find he does his best work when he's running between the tackles. Really, north-south runner. Really, even when given the tiniest of holes to run through, I find he's someone who hits it with a sense of decisiveness. That's rare for a 22-year-old running back. Here's a guy who's really helped himself throughout the process as well. Went down to the Senior Bowl where he was the co-MVP. Then he gets to the combine, runs the 40-yard dash in 4.46 seconds, which I think was really important for him to sort of, we had seen some lingering concerns of his breakaway speed. I think he might have kind of put that to bed a little bit. As you mentioned, threat to score every time he touches the ball. I really, really like him. I think he's going to routinely gas defenses for big gains at the next level. And you mentioned him playing multiple positions. Well, I talked about him as a runner. What about in the passing game? He does such great work. He's got such natural soft hands there. It's something that he's really going to have a lot to offer his team at the next level, both as a runner and passer.
Yeah, that Senior Bowl pass. Remember, he cuts back upfield, the quarterback. It's a perfect throw over the shoulder, soft hand, and takes off.
With 70 yards, I think it was.
Something like that. Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, and one of the questions that I had, because one of the things I'm always interested in, because I'm a big fan of Football Outsiders, for instance, and so one of the things that they have that they measure running backs by is speed score, and you mentioned the fact that Penny ran a 4.46 at the combine. And, for those of you who aren't familiar with speed score, generally speaking, it's just, if you can combine being faster with being bigger, the higher your speed score is going to be. So, Saquon Barkley was the guy who kind of blew everybody away pretty much, with the size and the speed at the combine. But what's interesting is considering all the guys who were there who ran the 40, Rashard Penny's score was actually third among about 20-something running backs. And it wasn't that far behind, someone like Saquon Barkley. So I guess my question for you is, as someone who considers just about everything in a mock draft, how much do these kinds of advanced metrics or just different ways of looking at things, how much do those factor into where you slot guys, especially at skill positions, because that's most of where these metrics are concerned?
Yeah, for me personally, I pay attention to all that, metrics, whatever your analytics, all that sort of stuff, I try to pay a lot of attention to, and I'm always trying to learn and better the way I do things. But I'm one of those people, and I don't never change, where I've always been that the tape is king. For me, that comes first and foremost. I have to see what I like. I have to see on tape. I got to make sure I like a guy there first and foremost. So I do a lot more film work than anything else. But a guy like him, you can kind of see that on tape. A nice combination of size and speed. Now, he's not a burner. He's never going to be a Chris Johnson or anything like that, but he's also not a plotter. He's got that combination of size and speed that I really like. And for me, running backs, especially in their first year, it's all about that opportunity. You know what I mean? You see a guy like Kareem Hunt go to Kansas City, and, you know, they had an injury in the preseason, and boom, opportunity pops up and he takes off. So I think opportunity is really important. Scheme, offensive line. So if Penny can land with the right franchise, I think you could have success as early as year one, for sure.
So one quick thing, it's a combination of both of what we've seen with Penny over Pro Football Focus. I was looking for this while they're chatting. There's that stat where it could be misleading, depends on it, but like yards per carry after getting hit. Like, it could be a couple of things. That could be your offensive line's terrible and they just let everybody come past you and you get hit and go. It could be various plays, but he seems to be, like you said, great vision. So like there's reason, like he'll get clipped on the side, he'll do his sides, like he amazingly, like if he gets contact, he's not going to just fall down. It's just kind of interesting because he's like number one. Saquon Barkley is at the bottom. Not that it's all puzzle pieces of the puzzle we see. Like when we talk about Josh Allen, the minute it's always you watch a ton of tape, or I'll watch metrics, I'll watch his feet. You'll watch A, B, or C to get one big picture. It just seems he's not going to be what Donald Pumphrey was last year. He's doing a little bit with the Eagles, but with what he can do for vision and being able to take hits and keep going, you see, I'm a top 60 guy. Like, what would be a good fit, as you mentioned, where he could either be a backup to play right away? I don't think he'll be what like Ezekiel Elliott did, unless Kareem Hunt happens, like an injury or some sort. But what do you see, like a team fit and maybe his role depending on the opportunity he could be given?
I really love the idea of him in Philadelphia, to be honest. And I don't know if that's a team that will grab him at 32. I think it's a little early. As I said, they might have to move up in the second if they're trying to get him. But I think that's a good mixture there of opportunity for him. Whether he starts as a, you know, whether it's just as a third down back, playing passing downs or short yards or whatever it is, I really think that if he lands with the right franchise, he can make an immediate impact in year one. And there's a number of ways to look at it, right? I mean, like you said, it could be like a Kareem Hunt where injuries occur. He could, you know, I don't think Philly really has a guy who right now is, we can peg as he's absolutely the starting running back, you know, when the season opens. So he's someone who could maybe really impress in the preseason, really get their attention during camp. I really would love to see him do it all this year, if I'm being honest.
All right, so let's talk about Michael Gallup for a minute, because it's kind of interesting how the narrative has changed, at least from kind of a distance, where, you know, back in January before the combine, you know, there was at least some sense that, you know, maybe this is like a late first round kind of guy. And it seems like, you know, the enthusiasm has cooled off a little bit, like not too much. You know, you see some kinds of numbers where, you know, he led the country, I think, last year, or at least among draft eligible receivers in like yards after catch or something like that. But I guess my question would be, you know, where's your initial sense of where he ends up? Because I know that he's dropped a little bit kind of in the eyes of most prognosticators, but how far is that drop from your point of view?
Well, for me, to be totally frank, I've had him in the exact same range the entire time, and I really, really like him. I never really understood the first round discussion on him, so I don't know where that came from. And if it's cooled off, it's odd, and it even started there to begin with. I have him as a top 50 player on my board. I really do like him in the second round. I'm a big fan now of this game. Really, really like him. Starts off with his size. He's got great size for the position. Does a nice job using that sort of game position as well. And again, if he has slid, I'm not sure why, because I thought he had a really good combine. I thought it was really important for him, first of all, that he clocked in at 6 feet tall. I think some people were a little concerned that he was maybe, you know, it was actually 5'10", 5'11". But he shows up, you know, he's 6 feet tall, runs the 40-yard dash in 4.51 seconds, which I thought was a good time for him. And the explosion was evident. As thing that jumped out is the height and the arm length. You know, he's got that height and long arms, and sort of he has threaded the red zone, right? He has shown the ability to come down with 50-50 balls. He also does a nice job really plucking the ball at its highest point. So I'm a really, really big fan of Michael Gallup. I think he's a very crisp route runner, very smooth when he's out there. Yeah, he's also very dangerous after the catch as well, with a lot of great work once the ball is in his hand. So I'm a big fan. I think he's a second round guy. Maybe a team like Dallas, they don't draft the receiver at 19. You know, if they don't go with a Cortland Sutton or a DJ Moore or whatever, I think Gallup makes a lot of sense for a team like Dallas in the second round. I'd beat you to your next question. If you want to know about fit, for me, I'd really, really think that makes a lot of sense, especially in the absence.
That's good. I'd love to go to the Cowboys because I'm a Cowboys guy, and Dez has been, honestly, hey, it's okay. It's cool. We're good. Dez, just him being all not very good the past couple years, but they Gallup, and that'd be awesome. for at least for me to see if he can do something good for the team I enjoy. Where do you put him, like, overall? Because you hear a bunch of good receivers. Like, I think the first round stuff came from CBS, maybe like a sleeper type thing, but I think it's overblown, like you said. But where do you, like, where do you have him overall of your top, like that guy from SMU, was it Court Finnegan, other guys? Where do you put him? Maybe not Sam Finnegan. I'll pass the name if I space it. But where do you, basically, where do you have my wide receivers as I fumble the question brutally?
Well, I've got Courtland Sutton as my wide receiver one. Then I've got Calvin Ridley from Alabama. And I got DJ Moore as my number three. Anthony Miller is my number four. But Gallup is definitely potentially my number five. I really, really like him. I kind of have him in that same mold where sort of battling with guys like James Washington and kind of kid from Texas A&M, Christian Kirk. But I do really like Gallup. I think he's a fifth or sixth receiver off the board. Right? I at least think he's worth of going in that range. Again, around 50th overall for me on my board personally.
Yeah, otherwise it's Finnegan. That's old guy. Whatever. Let's move on. I don't need to dwell on that. All right, let's get to Josh Allen because he's my, as Matt knows, my not-so-favorite quarterback. So, yeah, we kind of differ. He's the weirdest thing. Like, it's not just us anymore. It's like when we were watching him last year and now during the offseason and the year before. It's like either love him or like basically hate him. It seems like there's no in-between where he should be at because we've heard of all, like, he lost NFL talent. He had a couple guys from the year before. Heard then if, like, Brian Hill, Chase Roulier, Tanner Gentry, guy with the Jacob Hollister at the Patriots, lost a lot of talent, which is understandable. Team won mostly because of defense's pasture. He was okay. He makes those couple great throws, but then he hits people in the feet. So what is your thought on Allen overall? Because we've seen him either be number one or maybe even dip down to, well, who knows, teens perhaps or something. If, like, Giants don't want a quarterback, Browns don't take him, maybe Buffalo makes a move for something. But what's your – first, let's just get your overall opinion on Allen and then what you think of him real quick.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I remember we had that conversation about him a few months ago, and we differed greatly on him, and I think we still will because I still like him. But you're right. His process, it's really been fascinating, sort of. Quite possibly, I was thinking about this the other day, might be the most scrutinized prospect in some time, especially at the quarterback position. But the divide on him, it's fascinating. Like, some think he's worthy of going number one overall to Cleveland. Some think he's a third-round pick. You know what I mean? Like you said, there's really, seems like there's no in-between. When I personally put the tape on, I see someone, and you kind of mentioned it, who can make an exceptional play on one snap, and then he misses a layup on the next one. So it's definitely frustrating at times. It's that inconsistency that's plagued him, and that it's been a problem. At the end of the day, as I told you a couple months ago, I do really like him. I think he possesses all the intangibles. It's the stuff that you can't teach. He's that big, strong-arm quarterback with, you know, he's got exceptional athletic ability for his size. I think there are some things that his game, of course, that need to be fixed, but I think some of that can be taught. Like, he needs to stop gambling. I think a lot of his interceptions at times are just kind of him coming to, you know, learn it's okay to throw it away and live to fight on another down. And I think that's something that can be taught sort of through repetition and experience. That's something he's going to have to get down. You know, when he's escaping the pocket, footwork gets a little stagnant, gets sloppy. Sometimes he goes flat-footed. But I do really, really like him, and I think he warrants an early pick. For me, I've gone back and forth with him and Lamar Jackson as my quarterback 4 and 5. I've been locked into Josh Rosen being my number one, Baker Mayfield being my number two, and Sam Darnold being my number three. But I think Allen is in that 2B4-5 range. I think all five of these quarterbacks, just for the record, are worthy of high picks. I think all of them will go in the first round for sure. And for me, Allen being my 2B4-5, I don't think he'll be drafted as 2B4-5. I think he's going to go earlier than that. I think he'll go before Lamar Jackson, and I think there's a good chance that he'll go before Rosen as well. I don't agree with that, but that's what I think will happen. So I don't think Cleveland will take him at one. I still think they'd go with Arnold from USC. But, you know, the Jets at three, I think will give him serious consideration. Denver at five wouldn't shock me at all. I wouldn't be surprised if Buffalo comes up for him. I know they're currently thinking they've already moved up to 12 and could potentially move up even more. I think Miami at 11 might think about making a move for a quarterback. You know, you got teams like the Colts at 6 have already publicly said they're willing to trade down. So I think he's going to go early. And again, for me, it's all the things you can't teach. He's been a first-round pick for me the entire time. I haven't changed my stance at all. He's not as early on my big board as he'll be drafted. Now, of course,
yeah.
With the importance of finding a franchise quarterback, of course. But again, he's been a first round pick for me the entire time, and I'm firmly still on that stance.
So I'm going to extend that a little bit, just because I'm thinking of, like, you know, the whole Alex Smith versus Aaron Rodgers kind of thing from 2005, where they were both thought to be potential number ones. And obviously, you know, Smith ended up being the first overall pick to the 49ers. So where do you think is, like, the absolute limit that he falls to? Like, in the situation where, you know, you say he's QB5, so let's assume he's the fifth quarterback drafted. Who do you think is the team that is, you know, that is making that selection, if that's the case?
Well, if we're going to say we'll do it without trades, so I'm not going to factor in and guess any trades that might happen, and I don't think he'll be the fifth quarterback drafted. I really don't. I think he's going to be the second or third quarterback drafted. If we're going that way, I don't think he gets past Buffalo at 12. And I don't think Buffalo's going to stay at 12 for the record. But if that's how we're doing it, I think Buffalo at 12 is sort of the basement for him.
Just real quick. So do you believe that the stuff going out there, like Josh Rosen, is going to be sliding at all in this draft, like to go behind like Darnold, Allen, and maybe even like Baker Mayfield, or who knows, Lamar Jackson at some point? Do you buy into that right now?
I do, to be honest. I don't think he should. As I mentioned, he's the number one quarterback on my board. He's the second player overall on my board, period. But I do have a bit of a feeling that he is going to be the one to slide. I think Darnold definitely goes before him. I think Josh Allen definitely goes before him. And I have a feeling Baker Mayfield does as well. I don't think Lamar Jackson will go before Rosen, but I do think the first three that I mentioned will. Just sort of that old line of thinking. I mean, his former head coach hasn't helped at all. Not sure what Jim Mora's doing, but he seems to throw him under the bus every chance he gets. You've had some other people, just sort of that old, NFL's very much an old boys club at times, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
Sort of, you've heard all the, oh, he's a millennial, or he wants to know why. And there's nothing wrong with any of these things, but at the end of the day, if the people making the decisions have a problem with it, then yeah, he's going to slide.
It's going to be like, not to make very good a good comparison, but Randy Moss slid years ago for whatever reasons, because it's past, and he burned every team, like when he played whoever, like a team A, B, or C. It's kind of like what Mayfield's doing a little bit, where like marking this guy, saying this, they slide and become like a Hall of Famer. So not that Rosen could be that, but I thought he's one of the top two got quarterbacks on there. But so that's why I say, like, looking, like, trades are impossible to predict, like where Josh Allen could go. Let me ask you this, it's more a generic thing to move on to the next player. Do you buy anything that the Browns would be dumb enough to take two quarterbacks before deciding to trade one of them at 1-4?
I really hope they do, because it'd be one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I gotta be honest. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. But no, I don't think they will. I can't imagine that was a very long conversation, if it even happened at all.
Was hilarious.
I guess when you've missed so many times, I guess you think about hedging your bets a little bit more.
Oh, boy.
Kind of going all in. But I don't think that'll happen. I think they're going to take the USC. Number one and call it a day.
It's just funny because it's not like it's a trade which happens like, oh, pick my player here at 4. It was like, we're going to take two guys and then trade one. I'm like, what are you doing? I felt that was like, because that happens all the time. Like, they'll make the pick, usually NBA, because they have the dumb rule of trading picks after. But like, it's just seeing them like, yeah, we'll take two QBs and see what we have. I'm like, that's the worst. All right, let's get back to our Mountain West guys really quick before we wrap up here. We have a few more guys. Let's go with Cedric Wilson, another receiver, really quick. Over at Boise State. What is it kind of like? I'm guessing I need to look a bit more, but later round pick should get selected somewhere. But what are your kind of thoughts on him? Like, what he could do for going from JUCO to Boise and now get a shot at the NFL?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his game. One thing, you know, you mentioned that I interviewed him a couple months ago. He's someone I got to spend some time with, and he really, really left a great impression on me. First off, he could have made the jump to the NFL a year ago. You know, he had a big junior season, 1,100 receiving yards, 11 touchdowns. And I asked him about that decision, and he said, look, he was very honest with me, flat out, I wasn't ready. Wide receiver was still a fairly new position for me. He played quarterback in high school. He said, look, I was not ready. I need another year to prepare myself for that. And I thought that was very honest of him. And, you know, another thing, I thought it was a very mature decision of him to make, because he could have absolutely jumped last year. He had the numbers that would have warranted a draft pick a year ago. So I really, really enjoyed that decision. I think he got better throughout this year as a senior. I think he did a better job sort of recognizing coverages, being able to disguise certain things in his route running. So So I'm a huge, huge fan of his. And this year, you know, his receptions, so he caught 56 balls a year ago, caught 83 this year. Saw the reception, you know, yards go from 1,100 to 1,500. So, yeah, really, really like him. You know, his father played in the NFL, Cedric Senior, played 7 years in the NFL. So this is someone who comes from the NFL bloodline. He knows what it takes to be a pro. You know, very, very good route runner. To me, when I watch the tape, I don't feel like I'm watching someone who's only been playing receiver for a couple of years. He looks like a total natural to me. I was shocked when I learned he played quarterback in high school. Really, really good, smooth route runner. And, you know, when teams are analyzing him, look, sometimes we kind of overanalyze this process and we sort of, you know, oversimplify it. But look, teams are looking for guys who can make plays, first and foremost, right? Especially at the receiver position. They're looking for someone who can make big plays. Well, how about this? 26% of Cedric Wilson's catches went for 25-plus yards. I mean, that's, talk about a guy who just finds a way to make plays. He's dangerous after the catch. You know, a lot of his touchdowns came on post-goal routes. Very good getting deep, tracking the ball over his shoulder. I think he's someone who needs to get stronger. I'm not sure he's going to make a ton, you know, a big impact as a rookie. I think he's got to get stronger. I think he may struggle early on, sort of with the physicalness of the NFL. I think he's only about 188 pounds, 6'3". He's not going to cut it. But, you know, once they get their hands on him, an NFL strength and conditioning program, they'll get him right. I really like his potential. For me, I think he's worth a late third, early fourth round pick. I'm not sure what range he'll go in, but based on Tate's skill set, everything that I've gathered from him, you know, I know a couple of the coaches down there as well that I've spoken to. They really, really like him, and for good reason. As I said, my conversation with him came across as a very, very intelligent, polite, mature guy who's ready to play at a high level.
So one guy I'm really interested in seeing where he ends up is Nevada's Austin Corbett, because, you know, he's a guy who was in Reno forever as kind of a very steady presence along their offensive line. And, you know, one of the other things that I like to mess around with is over at Mock Draftable. I like to see how, you know, players at the Combine compared to players from Combine's past. And what really stood out to me was looking at Corbett's top two comps. You know, yeah, on the one hand, you have Dan Connolly, who was kind of one of those unheralded parts of the Patriots dynasty here and there. But the number one comp was Lael Collins, who was a guy who, you know, probably should have been drafted a lot sooner than he was, and now he's on, you know, making waves on the Cowboys, you know, front lines. So, you know, I guess my question is twofold. How do you see Corbett's, you know, how do you see his skill set translating to the pro level? And where do you think he ultimately gets drafted?
I think he's ready to start on day one. I mean, I really, really like him. Yeah, absolutely. Really, really good football player. I mean, you know, he played left tackle on a bad offensive line at Nevada. So it's a bit of a projection to him playing in the interior. But I think he's a natural. I think he's going to be very good at it. I think he's ready to play from day one. I mean, when you put the tape on, he's one of the most physical, nastiest, meanest offensive lineman in this entire class. And I mean, that's how, I don't know about you, but that's how I like my offensive lineman. I want to see a guy who's physical and nasty, and that's him, absolutely. You know, I think he comes off the board, to answer the part of your question, very early. I think he probably goes in the top 60. I think he's going to end up being a second round pick. I think for a team who, let's say, maybe misses out on a, you know, wants to address their interior and misses out on maybe a James Daniels or an Isaiah Wynn, or a Hernandez, you know, I think those three guys are first-round picks to me. I think for a team who misses out on one of those guys in the second round, will come back and grab this guy, and I don't think they'll regret it at the end of the day. He's a great player, really, really good player. Very aggressive run blocker, generates a push, someone who fires really, really, really good football player.
All right, I'm going to toss one player. You can say no if not, because we didn't mention him at all, but Dejon Brown from Hawaii, offensive lineman, anything about him at all being selected or anything you've looked at with him so far? Because he's doing decent stuff in the All-Star game, so.
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't, he's not one of the guys I've taken a look at yet. Okay. So still kind of working through maybe the last 20 or 30 players on my board. I've scouted about 275, I would say, up to this point. So to be honest, he's not someone who's come across my radar yet.
I don't know if
he's a seventh rounder, maybe it's priority free agent, but it's not someone I'm familiar with.
That's fine. I saw him doing a few good things. I was like, well, we mentioned quarterback. Wait, there's another offensive lineman who had a pretty good career. So, no, that's perfectly fine. And then one last guy for wrap it up. A guy did give you the name on, so sorry about Brown there. But Nick Stevens, quarterback, He's like, what, I don't know, top 12 of the class, I believe, from what I've looking at overall. Maybe I like him a bit more than most people. He had a pretty, at least the last year's pretty good. The year before was just a complete mess. Does he have any chance of being picked, partly because quarterback teams want a QB, or do you see any potential there of him maybe being like a late round guy and just getting picked up somewhere just because he's a quarterback or he's actually talent to make it?
Yeah, I think he'll get drafted on day three. I think he's a round 6 or 7 guy. When I put the tape on him, you know, I do think there's some traits worth developing. You know, right now I know he's working with Steve Fairchild. I don't know if you're familiar with Steve, but he's an excellent quarterback training coach. More than 30-plus years experience. He trained a couple quarterbacks in last year's draft. Kyle Slaughter, the kid who ended up, I think, originally in Denver, and he's in Minnesota now. But Nick Stevens is working with him. Again, I think that's an excellent decision. You mentioned a bit of an up-and-down collegiate career. You know, he was benched as a freshman, but got the job back. I think it was due to injury, and he didn't look back. Tough guy, been through some adversity. I think he's someone who comes in, you know, a team at state looking to develop a QB on day three. They'll look at him and say, hey, he's someone, oh, you know, who worked under center, you know, at TSU, comes from a pro-style offense, pretty good, accurate thrower. I think the knocks on him are going to be, you know, the arm strength is probably average. You know, I'd say it's average at best. Kind of struggled with some of those downfield throws. He's a little undersized as well. But I do think he's worth drafting on day three. I think he's got some traits worth developing. At least can maybe turn into a high upside backup, I would say.
I actually have one more I'd like to ask about as well, real quick. Because, you know, a lot of the talk has been surrounding, you know, Rashard Penny coming out of San Diego State. But, you know, Cameron Kelly's had, you know, a pretty nice offseason as well. You know, it seems like he, you know, had a couple of nice workouts. I forget which bowl game he played in the postseason. It escapes me right now. I think it was the Senior Bowl, but don't quote me on that. But I guess, where do you see him falling? Because I know that, you know, DeMonte Casey, I think, was a day three pick last year, if I'm not mistaken. So do you see Kelly as kind of following the same path? And do you think that he can find a way to be a contributor?
I think he'll probably fall in. For me, he's a late third, early fourth round guy. But from what I've gathered, I like him quite a bit more than some other people because I really like him. I think he's a very interesting guy to be, very versatile, has experience playing both, you know, corner and safety. Going back to what you mentioned earlier with Penny, you know, teams love that versatility. He can play more than one position. This is a guy who's got excellent length. I think teams are going to be very, very intrigued with the idea of maybe playing him at corner. To the length and ball skills that he has, you know, it's very evident. Those are two things for me that jumped off the screen. When I began my process into scouting him, the first game I put on from this past year was against Stanford, and I was blown away with his performance in that game. I mean, guy, you know, I want to say a couple of sacks. I think they blitzed him a couple times. He came up with a couple of design blitzes where, he ended up with a sack. He forced a fumble. He had an interception. I mean, really, really good player. There was some excellent coverage throughout that game as well that I noticed on tape when he was lining up, even in man coverage one-on-one. So I really, really like him. I think he's a guy that a defensive coordinator can do a lot with, whether you're playing him on the back end or he comes up, can affect the run game, can cover tight ends and running backs, can, you know, maybe play out of the nickel, you know, cover some slot receivers, can play the deep middle. I really, really like him a lot. Again, I've had this conversation with people who aren't crazy about him. So I'm not sure exactly where he'll fall, but for me, I feel comfortable taking him in, I would say, probably the fourth round.
Excellent. Thank you very much. No, our time is up here now. We got in all the players we need to chat with within the conference. Me and Matt will go over the other guys in a minute, but Justin, thanks for hopping on. So check his stuff out. Go to JustinM_NFL on Twitter. DraftWire.USA.com. Titans Wire stuff. And thanks for hopping on. And hope your week, you somehow get a couple hours of sleep between now and the weekend because it's going to be nuts.
Hopefully. I'm not sure I'll get much sleep, but it's all good. This is what we do it for. So I really appreciate you guys having me on, for sure. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, folks. It's what you've all been waiting for.
All right, one more time. Thanks again for Justin Mello. Check him out Twitter, as I just said probably 10 seconds ago, JustinM_NFL, the Draft Wire, USA Today, Titans Wire. We're all part, like I said, kind of part of the same family. Hence, quote, wire stuff, as you see in the name. So check him out. Check us out and for all the draft stuff as we're going on along this 1 week as I talk like this for some reason, because we haven't podcast frequently enough, Matt. So I blame that on me doing my tongue twisters here. But here's players we missed. There's a couple players that either Justin hasn't studied on because he doesn't need to study a guy who might be a unrestricted or undrafted free agent on and make a team sixth depth chart position at running back. So let's start off with one guy. I guess there's a couple of guys who probably could be drafted that we didn't get to. Let's just start with Jalen Davis, Utah State. I was surprised because I know Utah State fans probably don't like us a ton because we don't do as much as we should. The guy spaced on me until, I saw an article the other day. But what we're both seeing is like, sixth-round pick at best for him? But he made a million plays at Utah State.
Yeah, I mean, especially last year when he was an All-American. So you would think that that kind of performance would be, almost impossible to overlook. And maybe some of it has to do with the fact that, this year's draft is stacked with cornerbacks. Because, when you consider the guys at the top of the class, guys like Denzel Ward, Joshua Jackson, Isaiah Oliver, all of those guys are pretty good. But, it's interesting to me because if you go look at something like Pro Football Focus or something like that, that, on the one hand, they have their 7-round mock draft that they came out with, I think it was a few days ago, on the 17th, so sometime last week. And, he's going in the 7th round. I think he was actually like pick 254 or something like that. But on the other hand, they also named him as one of the 10 most underrated West Coast prospects back in late March. So, I think I'm not sure where, what the rub is necessarily. Maybe some of it has to do with his size, because he's not necessarily the biggest guy in the world. I think he only measured at 5'9". That maybe that's a little bit of a detriment when you're going up against larger receivers in the pro ranks. But, I think he's the kind of guy where if you give him a chance, he could surprise a little bit because, he was, according to Pro Football Focus, the opposing passers had a 30.5% rating when they targeted him. And, he went into the combine and had a 36-inch vertical, which is nothing to sniff at, And, I think he has the requisite speed in order to be able to compete for a job as well. So even if he gets into a rotation somewhere, I wouldn't necessarily count him out just because he's going to be a day three. He's looking more and more like a day three pick.
Well, and also NFL passes a lot more. There's going to be five defensive backs in the field more often than there have been the past couple of years. So if you get taken late and you're a nickel back, it still means you could see, if he does well enough, at least 10% of snaps any given game, which would be, seven plays, 10 plays maybe, maybe not 10, but depending on who you're playing, but at least close to half a dozen snaps minimum if he's even like your fifth or sixth defensive back.
Well, and they also made note that, or Pro Football Focus, I should mention, that they made note of the fact that he played almost as much inside against slot receivers as he did outside. And he did that in 2017. I'm just going to give you the number real quick. It was 350 snaps in the slot, 310 outside. And the year before that, in 2016, it was 173 in the slot and 328 outside. So I think that, in the same way that, Justin mentioned with Cameron Kelly, for instance, that flexibility, I think that, a smart team is going to be able to find a use for that, even if he's a later pick.
That's definitely true. And also one thing, too, he makes plays, including the five picks. He had the three in the BYU game, two touchdowns, but also 15 pass breakups. So he's versatile. He gets the ball. He makes plays. Size, 5'9", that's probably a tad below average for DBs, but I think he's going to make a name for himself. Like, he always seems to make a play, and he late-round pick seems right, but I think he'll stick around. He won't be a guy who gets cut, within 18 months or something after a year just because he's a late-round pick. I think he'll stick with the team and do reasonably well.
I agree.
All right, so should we go to a tackle machine, Frank Ginda?
Let's do it.
He had a year of eligibility left, decided to leave for San Jose, which I don't blame him one bit. Sorry, Spartans fans, but your football team has struggled a bit after losing your coaches and everything. He hasn't got as much pump as I thought he would. Is it because you think he plays in a bad team? Because he gets to the ball, if you're getting that many tackles, I don't care how good or bad your team is, you're doing something right. And so I just kind of think his production himself and being able to make plays would get him a bit more consideration than what he's being shown right now from draft experts and other people as well.
See, I'm not necessarily sure, and maybe some of it has to do with his overall size because, he was playing in the middle of the defense, But, you know, he's only 6 foot and 245 pounds, so maybe he's a touch shorter than a lot of teams would like. But, you know, I think we've seen that he has, you know, the ability to go sideline to sideline. I think we've seen that he's a very sound tackler. So, you know, offhand, I'm not quite sure, because we know, you know, for instance, he had 3 cone speed that was under 7 seconds. That's, you know, when you're looking for short area quickness, I'm just looking off of NFL.com right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, that was listed among his strengths. Just, you know, he's a guy who knows how to tackle. He's been steady, if not necessarily kind of an explosive playmaker like Leighton Vander Esch was, kind of getting into the backfield all the time. And, you know, as tackling is, you know, never not going to be important on the next level. So I'm not quite sure why he's not getting as much love as I think you and I might have suspected he would back in January.
Could it be maybe he moved outside linebacker? Perhaps that size, you don't have to be as like 6'2", 6'4", or whatever it may be.
It could be. I'm not sure.
But I'm looking at like just rank, like draft rankings, like where are they on his position either. I'm not seeing him like in top 15 anywhere.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
It just, I don't know. Because tackling, like, it's something that everybody has to do. And if you're really good at it, that makes you really valuable, I think. Whether you, like, the amount, again, he had led the nation in tackles per game, nearly set the NCAA record for 1 year. I know you don't want to go for odd numbers, but when you're looking at what he can do, because if you're that good, you're going to be found. Like, there's guys who play in Ivy League or guys overseas who never touched foot in America playing decent football. They pick them up and draft them because, hey, we see something there. So it doesn't, like, saying he's on the Patriots, or excuse me, not Patriots, but Spartans and all that stuff, shouldn't matter for a team that's not very good. Like, here's, I'm looking, the reason I say Patriots, I pulled up their roster just curious to see. Like, their linebacker, I guess these are inside linebackers or whatever. They do, a 3-4. So their inside linebacker starting Kyle Van Noy, 6'3", 243. Donta Hightower, 6'3", 265. The size is there, but the height may not be there. Like, Edmund Robinson, 6'2", 235. Harvey Longy, 6'2", 252. So he may be, you're right, maybe just a tad on the height. If he was, it's like the double quarterback thing. If you're above 6 feet, you're good. If not, you're screwed. Maybe if he was 6'2", 240, he'd be considered 20 spots higher. Who knows?
Well, and just to take that a step further, if you compare him to what Van Der Esch was able to do at the Combine, for instance, you know, his 40-yard dash is not that far behind what Van Der Esch was able to do. You know, Leighton Vander Esch clocked in at 4.65. Ginja, I think, at the pro day went 4.72. So, you know, that's not necessarily a bad comparison. And when, you know, bench press, for instance, Van Der Esch was only able to do 20. Ginda did 29. And, you know, I think Justin also made mention of the vertical jump at 39.5 for Van Der Esch. And Ginda was only able to manage 33. But I think that there are some measurables that, you know, that aren't necessarily unfavorable when you're trying to consider him to a guy that's, you know, for all intents and purposes, probably a first round pick. So, you know, maybe the size is a little bit of an issue, but I think if you're trying to take the other, you know, things that are being measured into account, as well as the numerous amounts of game tape of him just, you know, like you said, being a tackling machine, you know, I think when you take that all together, you know, if he's a day three pick, you know, fifth or sixth round or something like that, I think there's the possibility that someone's getting a steal in that situation.
One other quick note, Ginda, before we go. High school, he played basketball, track and field, sprint, and threw discus and shot put. So he's fairly athletic, which most people are, but I'm just saying that's always a little something extra. Because those nuggets will come out when he's like, all right, who we got? 6th-round pick, 7th-round pick. Hey, NFL.com says he played this sport. He played this sport, A, B, and C. So if you want those tidbits, there you go. Who else should we get to? Are there any other player, draftable players you think we should? Is there anybody in Fresno State? Because you know them well, and I made a goof in my email earlier this month. Is there any prospects on the Bulldogs that might sniff the draft somehow?
I mean, I haven't really seen anybody of note. Like, you know, I think that Malik Forrester could have a shot to be a late pick. But honestly, I feel like, at least as far as this year's class is concerned, I wouldn't be surprised if there were, like, you know, a half dozen or more undrafted free agents or things like that. But as far as guys who are probably going to get drafted, you know, it may seem kind of a bummer considering you're talking about a team that just won 10 games. But I would be kind of shocked if somebody heard their name called this week.
Okay. Also, the team was fairly young, so.
Yeah.
It's also something to consider as well. Do we need to mention David Miller real quick? Because I butchered the name pre-show with Justin. So is there anything about him? Like, he's a pretty productive guy, but I don't know if he's going to do much of anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting. Like, I'm trying to look through, you know, different seven round mock drafts, which, by the way, I have the utmost respect for anybody who wants to sit down and do that
yes,
for a living, you know?
Exactly.
But, you know, in the ones that I've seen, I haven't really seen his name come up either.
I wonder if it's – because remember, he got arrested a couple times. He had a few issues with the law, so maybe that could be – but again, if you're productive, you take up space. Like, if you're a defensive tackle or a nose tackle, it's like – I know Vince Wilfork, a little bit different example. Looks like a kind of a schlub. He plays for Texans – or played for the Texans, used to play for the Patriots. I think the Raiders for a hot second. He, like, has a big guy and he just takes up space. Not that that would be a MOA, but if you're a guy that's fairly athletic – take up a ton of space and make two guys guard you, you can maybe find spot in a backup or third string. I bet he'll be a UDFA guy, but I don't know. Oh, yeah. Oh, here's the guy we forgot to mention, or at least I did. Nick Bodden. Former quarterback, now fullback.
And a pretty good fullback at that.
Yeah, I remember, it was, I think, Chris Berger of The Athletic saying he's like NFL ready. He'll be fine. He'll make a roster. And there's only so few spots to be a fullback in the NFL, but if you're one of the few, you could have a very long, productive career, and he can actually cut. He's not just a big guy to block. He can get a couple of carries. Didn't he break his hand last year and still make like a one-handed catch or two sometime late last year, I believe?
Yeah.
Something like that. So there you go. If you're a fullback, can make one-handed catches, and you can block for whoever's in front of you, you're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, because obviously teams, at least in the draft, don't really place that much value on a fullback. You know, he's probably, I would guess, a seventh round pick at best, but you know, it's not as though teams that, you know, can get creative with a fullback can find different uses for them. Like whether he's like an H back or something, you know, someone like a Charles Clay, for instance, I think that would be kind of interesting to see. But you know, I think the template for him, like is the best case scenario. Someone like, I'm probably going to butcher his name. The guy with the 49ers, Kyle Juszczyk.
It could always work.
I feel like that guy is kind of the gold standard for how you look at fullbacks these days. And I've seen him kind of – I've seen Bodden, for instance, you know, tied to any number of guy or any number of potential teams. You know, I just saw something where Atlanta might have some interest in him, which when you consider their running situation down there, would be a very interesting fit. Watching him lead block for, you know, Dante Freeman and – Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman is still there, right?
I believe so. But it's like a lot of teams. Like, if you're a fullback, like, if you look at the Cowboys, like Ezekiel Elliott, if you look at, I guess the Seahawks are getting running backs. They weren't very good last year. But if you're a team that runs the ball a lot and have good running backs, like, whoever's going to take, like, Saquon Barkley, if you get a good fullback in front of you and it can allow you to have, say, instead of having an extra tight end on the block, which they don't do a ton, but it just helps your team overall where you – doesn't put wear and tear in your starting running back. Essentially, that's where I'm going with this. Like, if you just a single back, you get hit first. But if you have full back, pave some room where you can get an extra half yard, extra full yard, because they're quick enough to do the counter. They're in the play where also the threat to run the ball, because you got the counter plays, you got the pulling guards, you got the reverse guys. You can open up your playbook so much. Like, you always see pulling guards. You have a full back play action with the fullback. It could do a million different things. And if you run the ball up, I'm trying to, Brandon went like this, but another fullback over the Jacksonville, because he calls Leonard Fournette a fullback. But like, if you do it with the Texans, they run the ball reasonable a lot. If you have a team that runs the ball quite a bit more than others, a good fullback is invaluable. Well, apparently I had a few technical issues there at the last bit of the show as I'm talking about Nick Bodden. I'll hopefully mix it together where it sounds nice and smooth, but I just lost my connection, so who knows what happened. So thank you again, Matt Kennerly, who joins us every single time, co-host here for the good old Mountain West Wire podcast. Again, thank you to Justin Mello. Check him out one more time at the Draft Wire, JustinM_NFL on Twitter, Titans Wire stuff as well. So great info for him talking about Josh Allen, Nick Stevens, Austin Corbett, all sorts of players, Leighton Vander Esch, all sorts of players are going to be picked and selected, some who may not be selected, as me and Matt went over a couple of those guys. I guess not the marquee guys up there for the Mountain West. But if you like our stuff, we appreciate it very, very much. So thank you for listening, subscribing, downloading. If you haven't downloaded before, do it again. If you just found us, appreciate it. MWR.com, that's our website. But it helps out a ton if you subscribe to it, if you rate us, review us, iTunes, Stitcher, over at Blog Talk Radio. Anywhere you get a podcast can be found. If you give us a little review, share it. Let us know. If you like the draft talk, it's great. We had Justin on to give us some good info about all the great players in the draft, so give him a follow as well. But we will see you next time. Our next show, the plan is, going forward, we'll have a show post-draft to talk about where these guys landed and everything, and give our insight of what's going on and all that great stuff, who's get picked where, what would be a good fit. And then we'll sort of do a couple of shows kind of transitioning into 2018, where we will just go ahead and start talking about previewing all the teams. But again, thanks for everyone who listened. Join us on the show. We'll see you next time, folks. And again, check us out, MWR.com. Well, apparently I had a few technical issues there at the last bit of the show as I'm talking about Nick Bodden, and I'll hopefully mix it together where it sounds nice and smooth, but I just lost my connection, so who knows what happened. So thank you again, Matt Kennerly, who joins us every single time, co-host here for the good old Mountain West Wire podcast. Again, thank you to Justin Mello. Check him out one more time at The Draft Wire. JustinM_NFL on Twitter. Titans Wire stuff as well. So great info for him talking about Josh Allen, Nick Stevens, Austin Corbett, all sorts of players, Leighton Vander Esch, all sorts of players are going to be picked and selected. Some who may not be selected, as me and Matt went over a couple of those guys. I guess not the marquee guys up there for the Mountain West. But if you like our stuff, we appreciate it very, very much. So thank you for listening, subscribing, downloading. If you haven't downloaded before, do it again. If you just found us, appreciate it. MWR.com, that's our website. But it helps out a ton if you subscribe to it, if you rate us, review us, iTunes, Stitcher, over at Blog Talk Radio. Anywhere you get a podcast can be found. If you give us a little review, share it. Let us know. If you like the draft talk, it's great. We had Justin on to give us some good info about all the great players in the draft, so give him a follow as well. But we will see you next time. Our next show, the plan is, going forward, we'll have a show post-draft to talk about where these guys landed and everything, and give our insight of what's going on and all that great stuff, who's get picked where, what would be a good fit. And then we'll sort of do a couple of shows kind of transitioning into 2018, where we will just go ahead and start talking about previewing all the teams. But again, thanks for everyone who listened. Join us on the show. We'll see you next time, folks. And again, check us out, MWR.com.